Amen. Again, welcome everybody on YouTube and checking in tonight. You know, I've got several questions that came in this week, but one of them, I think, takes precedent over the others. And if I don't get to your question tonight, I'll get to it next week. I got it cataloged here already. I just don't know what. I've had several people either text me or call me or email me this week and wanted me to take some time, a Bible study, and explain, you know, what is going on in Afghanistan, how that it's a very confusing time, and, you know, and then how does it or does it ever line up to the Word of God? And, you know, most of you were not even born when all of this began to unfold itself before what you saw this week. And so for me personally, I think, and you know this is me, I want you to be up to speed on everything. I want you to know actually what's going on. I'm your generation, and I understand this, your generation is not the best at keeping up on current events, unless it's The Bachelorette or something like that. And it's a thing where, you know, the world around us is imploding. And I think that, you know, as the old military adage is, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And so I think that, you know, when things come up like this, you know, it's very important that we as a church totally understand not only what we are up against, but what is really, really going on. And let me say, by starting out, what you're, and I don't know how much you paid attention to it, and I'll bring you up to speed. By the time I'm done this evening, you'll have everything you need to know in a context that, you know, you can better put things in place. But what you're witnessing in Afghanistan is, without a doubt, probably the most tragic event of a collective disaster since the Vietnam War. This is a disastrous event of biblical proportions. And the government, Biden administration, whoever, will most likely, and America too, most likely will never recover from this disaster. You need to know that. The damage that is being done this week because of our lack of whatever is probably going to make America, with her allies, very suspect. And, you know, the world is going to feel the damage that comes out of this. And you know me, I'm not a politician. I'm not political in any way, shape, or form. I don't care about the Democrats, and I don't care about the Republicans. And to me, it doesn't matter which is what. I think they're both screwed up, and it doesn't matter one way or the other. But having said that, I can see incompetence when it's right there. And we have got absolutely an absence of a vacuum of leadership in this country. And it's unbelievable. And the events of this week have, as I said, been of biblical proportion. And no one will ever believe or trust America ever again. And, you know, our brave servicemen, Marines, soldiers, and airmen, and Navy guys, you know, they've been betrayed. And, you know, it's a thing, if you've been in the military, it has to anger you a little bit. I was talking to Bill Tillman here before Bible study, and, you know, anybody that has been in the military knows what I am talking about and ought to be livid about this thing. You know, and, you know, I'm an observer of things. I develop patterns because that's the only way you can come to a logical, honest conclusion. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but it would be well for us to remember and understand that America as a nation, has not won a war in 75 years. Now that's catastrophic. World War II was the last war that we won. We had a stalemate in Korea. We got our rear ends kicked in Vietnam. And today, at every other place, America, we like to project ourselves as the greatest nation on earth. But if I was in charge of things on the flag and on all of the seal of everything of this country, I'd take the eagle off and put a chicken on. Because that's just about where we are at. And today, this week, this country has sunk to the lowest level, in my estimation, in her 200 plus years of history. I just don't understand how this happened. I told you when the virus hit us a year ago and everything was falling down around us in America, I told you that I could not believe how fast this country went downhill. And yet, we just entered into warp speed again this week, and it's unbelievable of what is actually transpiring and that is changing everything. Now, as a Christian, and this is, you know what, and some of you may care about this. Every time, you know, we're on YouTube, I read the things afterwards. Everybody has their 2 cents, which is fine. You know, it's a free country. You know, some people say, well, you know, Bob just needs to limit his questions to 10 minutes. You know, I'm sorry, that ain't going to happen. You know, it's a thing where somebody else says he just rambles on, you know. Yeah, I do. You know, that's because my first car was a Rambler. That's not my fault. And, you know, and somebody else said, well, you know, he just gets caught up on chasing rabbit trail. Well, you know what? If you're hunting rabbits, do you know what is the end of a rabbit trail? The rabbit. Anyway, I think it's vital that you keep up on this. There's enough things that are taking Christianity by surprise. And my job as your pastor for my church is to make sure that I give you everything that you can have and need to make this thing work for you. And the first thing I want to tell you and make it very clear, and we're going to put this thing into a biblical context tonight, but the first thing I want to tell you is that all that you're seeing this week will fall under 2 Thessalonians 2:7 that we talked about last Sunday, where the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Don't think for a minute that anything that is happening doesn't play into that. And that's where we have to start. If you don't start there, then you're going to get off track by something you read on the internet or something here or something there, and you got to have a base source from which you operate from. And what I'm about to give you tonight is exactly falls in the line with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, that as we speak tonight, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. This is part of a plan. And you need to understand that. And so, it's no great mystery that this thing is a total disaster. It's a complete breakdown of our military structure based on politics and not winning a war. The great fear was, and the promise was, that getting out of Afghanistan was not going to be another debauchery like it was in Vietnam. In Vietnam, we pulled out in 1975 after 20 years, and 25,000 young men gave their lives. And the great scene that was played on TV was that famous scene of the helicopter over the American embassy and the people lined up to get on there to get evacuated because Vietnam had fallen to the communists because we pulled out And now they were swarming in, and we were evacuating the last Americans, and it's a very telling picture. We were promised that that wasn't going to happen in Afghanistan. This week, you saw the same picture with a helicopter, only this time it's a Chinook. It was a Huey back then, hovering over, and people getting on the planes, hanging onto the planes, cramming up in the wheel wells of the plane. So when the planes took off, they either got crushed or they fell to their death, whatever. It's the same system. And the quicker you realize what we are up against, the better off you're going to be. Now, I'm going to kind of blend this in with Sunday, but tonight I got a plan that I want to give you. And going back to the fact that you've heard me say this many, many times, we never learn the lessons from history. And what you're seeing is a complete breakdown of our military structure based on political correctness. And it's an incredible thing. But at the same time I say that, you must understand that because this is the mystery of iniquity, what you're seeing, and you can't ever forget this, what you're seeing around us, and I know it gets real personal when it gets close and you start seeing all those things, you cannot lose a sight of what you're seeing is the hand of God in this world and in this country, bringing this country to a judgment because of what they've done with the Word of God. Now, based on those two principles, I'm going to lay out for you this whole thing in three or four sections tonight to make it easier for you to grasp. And let me start by telling you that where this is going, first of all. And then I'll come back and show you how we got there. I'm a kind of guy that when I read a book, I always read the last chapter first. That way I don't like surprises. That way if it doesn't end well, I don't finish reading it. So a lot of times when I'm dealing with things like this, I like to give you the end chapter first. And then I'll come back and show you how it works. And the complete collapse of Afghanistan. It happened by us pulling out our troops, and we now lose any real ability to stop any future attacks on America. And I want to explain that as we get a little far in it. Believe it or not, here we are, quote unquote, by the generals, the president, and everybody else, the most powerful nation on earth. They got more military might. We got the atom bomb. We got smart bombs. All the enemy have is dumb bombs. We got everything going for us. And now we are being held at bay by a bunch of guys who have taken over a country in less than a month that have none of those things. They don't have any F-16s, F-18s. They don't have an Air Force. They don't have any bombs. They don't have any nuclear bombs yet. They don't have any of the stuff that we have. And our government is telling them, the people that are trapped in the Capitol, the greatest nation on earth that can do everything, we're telling our American citizens trapped in there, surrounded by the Taliban, you got to make your own way to the airport. We cannot guarantee your security. Now, I saw today, the British are there, and there's British subjects that are trapped in the city. You know what the British are doing? They're lining up their SAA guys, and they're putting them in things, and they're driving to those places and picking up their people and bringing them back to the airport. What a novel idea. And our government are telling them, you're on your own. We cannot guarantee your safety passage to the airport because the Taliban owns the city. We're sorry. The most powerful country on earth held at bay by a bunch of radical ragheads who are firing 45-year-old AK-47s up against the most sophisticated war machine on planet Earth? Are you kidding me? They have no Air Force. They have no bombs. They have no trucks. They have no tanks other than what we left over there for them to have. Now ask yourself, folks, honestly, you're all intelligent kids here. How does that happen? Now I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm not a prophet, nor am I a son of the prophet. I'm not on the White House chief of staff in the military. I don't have any infusion to the CIA. I got a greater intel than any of those guys. It's a King James 1611 authorized version and the pattern of history. Here we are in Afghanistan. We can't get our people out. There's not only American citizens in Kabul, there's American cities throughout that country. And the Taliban are telling everybody, oh yeah, we're a good group now. We're going to change things over. And then they're killing people, beheading people, and beating people up. And they're going door to door to find the people who are Afghans who helped Americans. And Americans are just saying, what a terrible thing that is. You know what Stalin said? Stalin said, when one man dies, it's a tragedy. When a million people die, it's a statistic. There's a lot of truth in that. So what you're seeing now is the most powerful country in the world. How does this happen? Well, let me tell you how this thing is going to play out. You say, how do you know? The pattern of history. Does anybody remember in 1979, Tehran, how that 52 Americans were held captive by that terrorist government? For 444 days. And they used them as pawns against America because if you do anything, we'll kill them. And it was only after 444 days that they allowed those hostages to go back once they had used them for all the capital that they could get. You remember the Iran hostage situation in 1979? 50 Americans. American citizens held hostage in Iran, and this country couldn't do anything to get them out. Now, what do you think is going to happen in Afghanistan? Here we go again. The failure of our government has been set in place for you long before this week came into being. You'll watch the news, watch the Taliban ragheads there or their little AK-47s giving their little news confidence, and right there in the middle is the lead Taliban guy who is in charge of everything that's going on in Afghanistan. We had him in Guantanamo Bay prison, and Obama let him out. In fact, he didn't just let him out, he made a trade. And it wasn't just him, I think it was four other guys. It was like 5-1. You know what we traded him for? A deserter from the United States Army that deserted his post and went over to be with the Taliban. So the guy that we traded him for back then is now leading the opposition against us. I'm thinking seriously of having somebody bring that sign back there on the wall to me that says, you can't fix stupid. Because that's where we're at. I'm incredible. On top of that, they're a terrorist organization. Iran is a terrorist organization. Iraq is a terrorist organization. They're all terrorist organization. But Obama... Now, this is nothing against Obama. I don't care if he's a Democrat or a Republican. But he gave the terrorist nation of Iraq over $15 billion. I saw the pictures. Millions and millions of dollars, American dollars, stacked on pallets, put on C-130s and flown over there and delivered and given to them. Now, honestly, do you think that they used that money to open up McDonald's? Our boys were killed over the next 3 or 4 years, and the very weapons that they have and they do have was paid for by your American dollars, tax dollars that a guy gave over there. Many of the men and women and their families who've helped us will be in total, complete. They'll be captured. They'll be tortured. They'll be beheaded. They're going to go back to Sharia law where they take the women. It's already been reported that as the Taliban came in, all the young girls were given to the soldiers to be their wives, have no say in it. They're going to go back to a woman cannot be seen in public by herself. They're going to go back to wearing all of those things that they wear, and they're going to go back to torturing them and the most. And you know what? All of these. Let me ask you a question. Where are all these women right groups now? And we have a president. And I'm not fighting it. Joe Biden is the kind of guy you'd like to have come over for Thanksgiving. He'd be always good for a couple laughs. He's got a history of failed overseas foreign policies that is unbelievable. He has no clue what he's doing. He's an empty suit. And I say that with all due respect of the office of the President of the United States. But I'm telling you this, doesn't it bother you? Bothers me. We haven't heard from him for a week. He sends out General Miley and the Secretary of Defense. He sends out all his people like that to try to put a Band-Aid on this. Here we are. American citizens trapped in Kabul and in Afghanistan. Here we are, men and women climbing into C-17s, 640 into a plane, people hanging onto the wheel wells while the plane takes off, being crushed and falling to their death. Here we are, the Taliban ringing the city, having checkpoints, keeping anybody they don't want in and beating them and arresting them. Here we are. We have pulled out. We have left an ally. We say we had their backs. We haven't. And the whole country collapsed. And when he comes on yesterday, he tells you, you got to get a booster shot. Now, let's look at this biblically. I've told you where it's going. We'll come back to that in a little bit. Let's look in retrospect for just a moment. Let's go back a ways in time and let's see how this developed. You've got to see, if you're going to understand where we're at, you have to understand how we got here. And if you don't understand how we got here, then you're going to be confused about where we're at, and you ain't going to have a clue where we're going. So let's go back to around the turn of the century. We've talked about this before. We saw how that the hand of God in history was moving forward in the 20th century, like I showed you Sunday. The 20th century is an immaculate picture of a pattern. And we saw in World War I, the Muslim nations come crashing down. I know God used World War I to get the land ready for the Jew and break the monarchies of Europe. I get that. But he also broke the dynasty of the Ottoman Empire. And the Ottoman Empire had been the Muslim empire that had been in existence since around 1100 AD when the Byzantine Empire collapsed, and then the Ottoman Empire and the Turks and the Muslims all united, and they were a very powerful force. And obviously, by God's design, in World War I, they sided with the Germans. And when Germany got defeated, all those monarchs were broken up, and the Ottoman Empire lost everything. In fact, they lost Jerusalem. And I've told you before how that the British at the end of World War I, they had kicked the Ottomans out, the Turks out, and now they had Jerusalem, and that's where you begin the process, or God began the process, to get the Jew back to the land. Okay. Now, these Muslim groups, at this point in time, they pose no worldwide threat. I want you to understand that. They're made up of different tribes, different clans, different segments of Muslim religion, and they mostly fought among themselves. It was little tribal squabbles over land, or who was going to run this and who was going to do that, and that's basically where they were. Now, World War II came along, and, you know, Adolf Hitler brought a bunch of the Muslims into the SS. You know, his SS guys were getting decimated in Russia and every place else, so they needed to come up, so he brought the Muslim guys in because he hated the Jews and the Muslims hated the Jews, so they kind of made a deal. And, you know, so you had the SS Muslim divisions that fought alongside of the SS. But that all collapsed at the end of World War II. They never really were a world threat. There was no terrorism going on in other places. They pretty much stayed in their own little domicile, a country, whatever it was, and they did whatever they did. They fought amongst themselves and they did all those things. Now, all that changes on May the 14th, 1948. A day in history that most people would know about, but never mark it as probably the most notable event in the 20th century. And that is the day that Israel becomes a nation in the land again. And on May the 14th, 1948, we saw God's hand enter into the mix again. And when the Star of David goes up on May the 14th, 1948, and Israel becomes a nation, immediately, the next day, all the Muslim nations unite, was called the Arab League, five nations. In fact, it was the same five nations that came up against Joshua in the book of Joshua. That's another story. And they attacked Jerusalem. And now we see from 1948, the rise of radical Muslims. We now get a term that was kept in their little vocabulary, but now it becomes a common household word, jihad, which simply means a holy war. Now, we know from the Bible, from Genesis chapter 24, the importance of May the 14th, 1948, because we are told in Matthew chapter 24, and this is how you relevant to history, that when you saw Israel become a nation, that the generation that is alive, in other words, a person that was born in 1948, and that would be millions and millions of people, that generations of million and million people would not die off before they saw the second coming of Christ. So we're well now 70-some years into that. All this are your patterns and your indicators of how close we are and better understand what's happening not only in Afghanistan but around the world and in America and with everything else that's going on to better understand where we're at in position of that. So for the next 26 years after 1948, Israel is now attacked in major wars four times. And every time it's a continuation or a conglomeration of the nations now that are the Muslim nations, and they are now becoming stronger, and now they have a focus. Now, you need to learn and understand what I'm about to tell you. The Muslim countries and nations, they don't get along with each other. There's a civil war in Afghanistan that's been going on for 20 years. In every country, Muslim country, you'll find, as I said, clans, tribes that fight against each other. They all have their warlords, and they all have their little deals, and it's a lot like, you know, it's just the way it works. But I'm telling you right now, no matter what their little squabbles and fights over the land and the tribes and the clans may be, they will all come together on two issues. The first issue will they will all come together to wipe out the nation of Israel. The second one is they will all come together to kill you. And you better learn that. From 1948 to 1973, four wars that they come together of the nations to try to wipe out Israel. And a couple of times, boy, it came pretty close. But God said that you're the bush that will be burned, will not be consumed. And after that major last war, you have seen conflict after conflict after conflict. You've seen it come to the brink and be pulled back, become to the brink and be pulled back. And from their alliances with each other over Israel, in time, these nations became very powerful, and they also became very rich because of the oil. And that area of the world is just incredibly rich with oil, and they have made billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars through the oil. Now, once they get to the point where they're up against Israel and they're becoming more powerful, now they not only turn their attention of their hatred to the Israel, now they turn it to the Western nations that are Israel's allies. Welcome to the United States of America. And now they turn their hatred to the West because of our support for the nation of Israel. So as you've probably heard or haven't heard down through the years from all these great raghead leaders, America is the great Satan. Probably one of the truest statements that they ever did make. But I'm telling you right now, as you look at this and what goes on around us, do not get off point. This is by God's hand, God's design. You're in the middle of the mystery of iniquity or coming up to the end to it. And this is all about fundamentally Israel and America. Now, there's another reason why the Muslims hate the West. And that is because of the Crusades. The Crusades took place back in the around 1000 up to, went on for 400 or 500 years. There was 10 or 11 or 12 Crusades, however you want to count them. The most tragic was the Children's Crusade, where the Pope got up and said that God gave him a vision. And, he called all the children of Europe to go fight this holy war. And what had happened was that the Roman Catholic Church was making pilgrimages to Jerusalem, and they were, which was in Muslim control. And they were ripping off everything that wasn't nailed down, and they were just taking over the place. And the Pope decreed that the Jerusalem belonged to the Roman Catholic Church. And so the Muslim says, no, it isn't. So they got into this conflict called the Crusades, where the Roman Catholic fighters went in and fought that for the control of Jerusalem. And the most tragic was the Children's Crusade. And, of course, he sent about 800,000 kids. Most of them were kidnapped in Shanghai before they ever got there. The rest of them were slaughtered by the Turks. And, you know, here again, disinformation. When the youth activity went bust, the Pope blamed it on the Albigensians and the Waldensians and the Huguenots. And so they persecuted them. But they have never forgotten the Crusades. the Roman Catholic Church butchered, I mean butchered, the Muslim men, women, and children beyond belief. The streets ran red with blood, and they have never forgotten what the Catholic Church did to their people during the Crusade. Now, here's the problem. They don't get on my website and listen to my Bible study, so when they think of Christianity, they don't see the Catholic Church as who did it. They think that in terms of we're all Christians, so we all did it. They don't get church history down very well. And of course, so they hate all of us. And that's another reason why they want to wipe us out. The Muslims are very much into revenge. They're not big on forgiving and forgetting. They're big on cutting your head off and cutting your hands off. And so they have been against Israel and America and the West, not only for our support, but because of the Crusades. Now, all this brings us up to the 1990s now. We've come up through the wars with Israel and all that stuff, 79, 80, the conflict. And in 1990, we have what we would call, if you remember, this is before most of you were born, the first Gulf War. Now, what was the first Gulf War? Because if you don't understand that one, then you don't get why we're in Afghanistan. The first Gulf War was, you remember Saddam Hussein. He was the supreme ruler of Iraq. And in 1990, he invaded the little country of Kuwait. And it was over oil. And Saddam Hussein was ruthless. He is the grandson of the Grand Moffat of Arabia, who was the counterpart to Adolf Hitler in the Muslim SS divisions. And he gassed the Kurds, or gassed the people of Kuwait. He used chemical weapons on them. They died by the hundreds and probably the thousands. And of course, what happened was when he invaded Kuwait, then the United Nations got involved and NATO, and they sent in troops to stop what was going on and to take out Saddam, or at least stop the war. And that's where America then led the way in that war. And now we as Americans have had our first war in the Middle East. And this only fueled the hatred for America by the radical Muslims, and they now declared a holy war on America, a jihad, who they saw us as the infidels invading their homeland, and it went downhill from there. I remember at the time President Bush was the president, and he was given a speech, and he made the mistake in the war that he called this the Great Crusade. Boy, that didn't go over very well. So that's where we got our first deal. And then you know how that story, and I'm not going to get into it. We went in there forever. We were there forever. We chased Saddam all around, you know, and finally we caught him in a hidey hole one place, you know, and those things, and then they executed him and all that stuff. But anyway, 11 years later, now, here's how it begins to build. Here comes the pattern. 11 years later, a radical group called Al-Qaeda, who were based in Afghanistan, attacked America on 9/11. 19 Al-Qaeda men took over 4 of our passenger commercial jets and crashed both into the World Trade Center, one into the Pentagon, and then one in a field in Pennsylvania that everybody says was heading for the White House, whatever that means. And of course, this is where your conspiracy guys go crazy on this stuff. And, you know, and it's a thing where, again, your Bible will keep you from getting into a lot of conspiracies. And I've heard them all. I've heard people swear up and down that Bush blew up the World Trade Centers. I have heard that aliens did it. I've heard that it was a government conspiracy, that the government did it. Once and for all, allow me to put all three of those to rest. God did it. 9/11 was God's judgment on this nation, or the beginning of God's judgment on this nation, because of what this nation had done. And anybody who knows anything about the Bible, even a little fingernail fool, knows that God always used those same nations to chastise his people. And now he's using them today. Forget the fact that Al-Qaeda took credit for it. I'm not sure. Maybe Bush took them to lunch, sent them some Gates barbecue. They don't eat barbecue. I don't know, to get them to take responsibility for it and get the monkey off his back. You see, there are certain things that are just common sense. I mean, if we're missing four planes, where'd they go? There were over 350 people, supposedly, on those planes that got killed. Where'd they go? Where did they go? I mean, if planes didn't run into it and Al-Qaeda didn't do it, where did those four planes wind up with all those people? So, were they all given a check for $1 million and sent to Shangri-La? What about all their friends and all their families? What were they told? Oops. You see, there are certain things, if you just keep common sense within what you're looking at, and then you add a little bit of Bible to it, the answer is pretty clear in many cases. And what you have here is the mystery. You know, the biggest conspiracy isn't did the Bush do it or did the government do it. The biggest conspiracy is, where are those planes? They all were loaded with passengers, and they all took off, and none of them landed. And the people were never heard from again. Some of them were heard on the flight by saying, we're being taken over. The one, was it 93 or 95, it crashed in Pennsylvania. They tried to take over the plane. Where did they all go? Topeka? What happened to, you see, you've got to stay focused on what really is going on, because everything else is disinformation to get you off what is really happening. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Bush didn't do 9/11. The government didn't do it. The aliens didn't do it. God did it. It's God's judgment on this nation for us turning our back on God and the Word of God. And the worst is yet to come. Now, after 9/11, here we go. The pattern. America immediately invades Afghanistan. Here we are. And we go there to get Al-Qaeda. And the main guy who took responsibility for it was a guy that we all know and love, Osama bin Laden. And he was the mastermind behind 9/11. So now stay with me. Within Afghanistan, you have some warring faction tribes. One of those large contingency of terrorist groups is called the Taliban. The Taliban is a terrorist group that was in Afghanistan, who wanted to take control of the country. So they broke into a civil war about 20 years ago. And they wanted to go and take away from the provincial government. And for the next 20 years, the Americas, because we were in there going after Al-Qaeda, also fought the Taliban. In other words, we had two enemies that we were going after there, that one of them was Al-Qaeda and the other was the Taliban. And we backed the provincial government. We gave them air support. We gave them arms. We gave them ammunition. We gave them tanks. We gave them artillery. We gave them trucks. We gave them everything that they needed. And as long as we did that, they held the Taliban in pretty much a stalemate. The Taliban could not only advance so far, they could only hard parts of the country. With our backing, the provincial army in Afghanistan could hold them at bay. Along with that, we had pretty much decimated Al-Qaeda. That they had ceased to be, you hadn't heard anything about them for forever, because they pretty much had left the country because the pressure of America was just too strong and they couldn't operate. And we were bombing the snot out of them every chance we could find. You've seen all those pictures where you see the guy on the F-16 up there at 35,000 feet, and he's looking through a scope, and there's a building down here with crosshairs on it. And all of a sudden, you hear the pilot go boom, and the whole thing explodes. They dropped the bomb right on it. They were doing that all over the place. They were targeting cars with the guys in them and blowing them up. And, of course, so it just got too hot for them there. And as long as we were there to support them and to help them, They held them to a stalemate, but Al-Qaeda, you know, had pretty much been put to a place where they weren't much of a threat anymore. So now after 20 years, we have decided that we're going to pull out of Afghanistan. And this is the events now bringing us up to the last couple of weeks. President Biden come up and he gave a deadline of having all the troops out by October, I think it's 31st. I mean, how stupid do you have to be on our part to realize that he was in such a hurry to get everybody out of there, to close that down, so on the anniversary of 9/11, which is coming up in September, he could stand up and get a photo op because look what I did, and here we all are. Boy, did that blow up in his face. And because it was all for the wrong reason and the wrong motive, nobody planned anything. Nobody had a strategy. Nobody had an exit strategy. Nobody had a security contingency. This is what you've got. And now the inevitable, Vietnam, is going to happen all over again. And we have now had a complete takeover by the Taliban. And just like everything that goes on, the president of Afghanistan and all the leaders in the cabinet, they all fled the country first. There isn't $1 in the banks in Afghanistan. They were sucked dry. You know who sucked them dry? All the diplomats and the president that were leaving with the millions and millions and millions of dollars to go to their exile country to live in luxury for the rest of their life. They abandoned them. They abandoned them. And America wants to blame the Afghan soldiers for not being fighters, for not wanting to stay and fight, when the Afghan soldiers were told all along that America had their back, and as long as America was there, they knew that they had something to fall back on and had what they needed to fight the Taliban. And now they know that America pulling out, the Taliban's going to have nothing to stop them, and they are going to take them, and they're going to take their families. And now suddenly they did exactly what the leaders did, because they know there's no way that they by themselves can hold off the Taliban. And of course, we want to blame everybody else. We want to blame them. Biden wants to blame Trump. Trump wants to blame whoever. I guess it all goes back to George Washington. He started this country. And we, the greatest, most powerful nation in the world, with the most advanced army, air force, navy, we got planes that can get invisible. We got ships that can be invisible. We got planes that radar can't pick up. We got bombs that can drop from 45,000 feet and hit a nickel. I mean, the greatest, most powerful nation on the planet just got their rear end handed to them by a junior varsity team, the Taliban. Listen to me. It doesn't matter how big your army is. It doesn't matter how much and prepared you are and how great your weaponry and sophistication of it is. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And when there's no leadership, you have chaos. Now let's learn some biblical lessons here. If I was sitting in the president's cabinet or someplace, whether whoever it would be, Bush or whatever, and the idea was brought up that we're going to invade Afghanistan. And they went around the room and they said, I want to hear your opinions on that. When it got to me, here's what I would say. I would say, Mr. President, I would think twice about that. And he would say, why is that? And I'd say, Afghanistan is a tough nut to crack. Maybe you haven't been up on your history lessons yet, I don't know, but I am telling you that the catchphrase for Afghanistan is the graveyard of the empires. Never in the history of the world has any nation ever conquered Afghanistan. Mr. President, in 1977, the Russians invaded them. And the Russians were there for 10 years. The Russians didn't use the diplomacy that we'll use. They didn't go in with cheeseburgers and try to win hearts and minds. They didn't go in and say, let's make a great democracy. They didn't kowtow to the leaders and the tribal leaders and say, come on now, can't we all just get together? They went in as the most brutal army you ever saw in your life. They gassed them. They burned them with flamethrowers. They burned out villages. They assassinated them. There's a movie you ought to watch. It's called The Beast. Maybe some of you have seen it. Has nothing to do with the Antichrist. It has to do with the Russian invasion, the Russia invading Afghanistan. It is one of the most eye-opening things you have ever seen in your life of the brutality that the Russians imposed to break their will. And Afghanistan for the Russians was what Vietnam was for us. They lost. I've always marveled. I saw the pictures. Back in the day, I always marveled. They're fighting these tribesmen guys. These guys, the Russians got tanks, they got mortars, they got airplanes, we got AK-47s. They're fighting the Taliban and the tribal guys who are using infield bolt action rifles, and a lot of them are using flintlock rifles. And they couldn't whip them. Afghanistan has never been beaten. So, Mr. President, before you jump into that with both feet, you better understand that you better have something up your sleeve better than the Russians had, better than every empire on this world had to try to take them down, because nobody has been able to do it. Now, what I'm about to say is worth you coming here tonight for. If you don't get anything else out, this is worth it. This is the problem. This is the key right here. This is it. You want to know what the bottom line is? You're about to get it. All this other stuff was like when you go get a big steak and they put that worthless piece of parsley on the side of it. Well, here comes the steak. The war in the Middle East has never been a conventional war. America does not want to accept this. There isn't one general that will accept it, no president that will accept it, no secretary of defense that will accept it. Nobody will accept what I'm about to say. But it is the reason why you were crawling out of there with your tail between your legs. World War I, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, those were conventional warfares. Those were wars against a nation. In the Middle East today, as always has been since 1948, this is not a war against a nation. This is a war against a religion. And the quicker you learn that, the better off you're going to be. This is not an ideal of a nation that is built. This is the idea of a religion. They themselves call it jihad. That is holy war. What does it take for us to understand that? But you see, that's not being politically correct. Oh, what would we look like going against a nation because of their religion? You'd probably look like the winner. But it'll never happen. It'll never happen. Oh, I could just see it now. I mean, I could just see it. You know, you can defeat a nation, but you will never defeat a religion. You never will. It's not tangible. You saw the same thing on the Bible sense when the Roman Empire tried to wipe out Christianity. They couldn't wipe out Christianity. Christianity, because it was a quote-unquote religion. It was a spiritual thing. It wasn't a nation. Rome conquered every nation on this planet. Do you know that? She wiped out and conquered the whole known world, but she couldn't conquer Christianity. But Christianity wasn't a nation. And this is the problem we face in the Middle East. You're facing radical Muslims who get up every morning while you and I are brushing our teeth and thinking about our wonderful day and going to go here and go to the gym and going to walk and ride our bikes and go to work and then we're going to go to the ball game. They get up every morning with one thought, killing you and finding a way to kill more of you than just one of you because their religion demands it. You're an infidel. You don't deserve to live. And the bottom line root thing of the Muslim faith is to kill all. I don't care how you think you're going to get along with them and how nice they are. It's just like it was in the Middle East. In America, when push comes to shove, religion is going to overtake your friendship. I'm not escaping underneath here in a trapdoor. I dropped my glasses. I want you all to panic that I was leaving you like they're leaving Afghanistan. Now, this is the mistake that we made. And this was the insurance that we would end this way and we could never win. We tried to fight them conventionally. And they just kept popping up everywhere else. And, you know, you'd kill one leader and five other would just stay up and take his place. They don't wear uniforms. They don't have helmets like the Nazis did. They don't have uniforms like we did. They don't have cartridge belts, backpacks, and shoulder straps like our boys do. They don't wear flak vests. No, they wear a turban with sandals, with a long dressy coat, with pajama pants underneath of it, and they will kick your rear end right out of your country. You know why? Because you're trying to fight a nation. They're not fighting for their nation. They're fighting for Allah. And Allah says, kill you. Anywhere, anyway, anyhow you can. And we are too stupid to see that. So the only way you can fight them. Is the way we have fought them for 20 years. You're going to have to realize that conventional warfare is off the table. You may not like it. You may get tired of the fact that you got to be over there and have army guys over there all the time. But let me tell you something. While we were in Afghanistan and we were holding the line, we never got attacked one time. We disrupted everything that they were trying to do and kept them at bay in the country. And that was the price. Our boys fighting over there, keeping them at bay, that was the price for our freedom over here. Because they should have figured this out, but they didn't. You will either fight them over there and hold them, or you'll fight them in Chicago, in St. Louis, and then in Seattle. Because that's where it's going to go now. And this idea, I don't even know how they get it. I sat there and I listened to this guy. And he said, well, you know, it's their civil war. And we just felt like that we had been there 20 years. And we weren't going to stay there any longer and put our troops in there to support them because we have been there for 20 years and it's their civil war. And I thought they'd say, this has got to be a joke. And this was a 4-star general. And I'm thinking to myself, you probably got those at a surplus store on your way over here. You're probably a second lieutenant. Really? You don't want to keep troops in there for 20 years and beyond 20 years to keep them at bay? 1945. World War II ended. I'm not very good at math. How many years ago was that? Anybody? You're not very good at math either. How much? 76 years. 1945 to 2021. 76 years. We still have troops in Berlin. Don't we, John? You were in Berlin, weren't you, John? Why did we have troops in Berlin, John, to keep the Russians from coming into Europe, didn't we? Because we knew the moment we pulled out, they would pull in. Right, John? You spent your service time over there, and thank you for your service. Kill a commie for your mommy. I'm all happy about it. To 2001. Where's my math person? How many years is that?
68.
How many? 68? Older than me? Oh, yeah, because I'm 71. Yeah, that's about right. 68 years. As we speak tonight, we have 40,000 troops in Korea. We've been in Korea for 68 years. We've been in Berlin for 70-some years, all to keep at bay the nations that will overrun. If we pulled out of South Korea tomorrow, North Korea would be all over them, and they would fall. Now, what is flawed in your strategy that you'll stay in Berlin, you'll stay in Korea, but you're going to pull out of Afghanistan, which is a much bigger threat than either Korea or Berlin ever was. You know why? It's the hand of God. And well, I'm telling you. We pulled out of there. And now the communists or the Al-Qaeda take over and the Taliban take over that country of Afghanistan, and the terrorist group now runs that country. We're going to see the rise of Al-Qaeda again. They're going to come back stronger than they ever did before. We now have lost in 1 week all of our intelligence out of the Middle East. When we were there, we had the intelligence apparatus that we knew who was doing what and where. We now have lost that. We lost our last base in the Middle East. The reasoning behind forsaking the military airport and turning that over to the Taliban, which had two runways, which was a fortress, which could have been easily defended, and we gave that to them so we could have a one-runway airport, Naish City Airport, to do all this in? Who was behind that? And when the generals were asked, you know what they said? They said, well, our directive was we either had to secure the airport, the air base, or the embassy. And we didn't have enough troops to do both, so we chose the embassy. Good choice. And you know what? You know who's sleeping in the ambassador's bed tonight? Taliban. You lost everything. A total debauchery. A total failure. All by God's design for where this thing is going. And after 20 years, and here's the sad part, after 20 years and 2,400 young men's lives, American lives that was lost in Afghanistan, not to say the 20, 30,000 Afghanistans, we have nothing to show for it. We pull out with our tail between our legs, telling everybody we made the right decision, and all we have is a panic as we leave. And now we have opened up our southern borders. Al-Qaeda is going to come back in. They're going to become stronger with a vengeful hatred for us. The nation is going to be under the Taliban, who's going to foster everything. And now America is as vulnerable as it could ever be. Our southern border is a sieve. And now they can come in anytime they want, and they can do whatever they want to do, and nobody's going to stop them. America is a disaster. But again, this is all by God's design. So that's where we're at, and how and why we got to where we are at. And I'm going to kind of finish this up on Sunday a little bit, but I want to leave you with this. And this is a scary point. Once we're gone, and that country gets completely submerged, Afghanistan will become the epicenter for terrorism in the world. She is already boasting that she defeated the great Satan, America. Her PR is churning it out faster than we could read it, that the Taliban have defeated America. America has lost. America ran. America is weak. America was afraid. America pulled out. We won. We, the Taliban, beat every terrorist in this world is going to flock to that epicenter. Afghanistan is going to become the terrorist capital of the world, and it's going to become the headquarters by which terrorism is going to reign through this nation and around the world. Just as sure as I'm sitting here. She's already claiming she defeated the great America. And she will rise in power and in popularity. Armies, all jihadists, will flock to her. And they all will unite for one reason, and that is to finish what they started in 9/11. And I'm telling you right now, this week will go down in history as the greatest American failure that you have ever seen in the history of this country. We not only sacrificed all of those people who helped us, we promised them that we would have their back. We promised them that they would have the backing of the greatest nation on the planet. And because one man wanted to have a photo op on 9/11, we bailed on them. And now they're going to be beheaded. They're going to be butchered. They're going to be tortured. They took over the fingerprint center today. And now they have all the fingerprint photo records of everybody who worked for the United States government. And they're going door to door to door, rounding them up. They're telling us, and our people are so stupid, we're counting on the Taliban to do the right thing. We're in negotiations with the Taliban. And we think that they want to become a legitimate government, and therefore they're going to play by the rules. Really. What rock did you crawl out from that fell on your head? They care nothing about what you think about their politics. They're going to run the world. And they got one goal, is to run the world. And they're not going to run the world by doing the World Health Organization, the United Nations, NATO, UNICEF. They're going to run the world by killing everybody who doesn't, not a Muslim. And you better get it straight. And they're coming here. World War II. I watched a documentary a couple of weeks ago. I'm big on documentaries. And it was one that was put together that, I'm going to talk to you about this on Sunday. It was one that was put together by a group of military historians that were top drawer. And it was all based on the German Wehrmacht, the German army. And it walked you through from the beginning, its inception, how it was trained, its tactics, and the actual combat that they got into. And most people don't know that the German army in 1935, 33, 35, 36, 37, 38, was the most powerful army on the planet. It was unbelievable and unstoppable. Hitler took all of Europe in less than 6 months. He took Poland in 2 days. And I'm telling you what, he had everything in Europe. And all of those people in Europe then was living space for his Germanic people, and he hadn't lost hardly any soldiers. And then he made the fatal mistake that sealed his doom. And listen to me. He attacked Russia. And when he attacked Russia, he did the unpardonable sin in warfare. He opened up a two-front war. You cannot win a two-front, listen to me carefully, you cannot win a two-front war. He put 5.5 million men in Russia. At the end, 1 million came back. The rest of them either died in Russia or died in Russian gulags in prisoner of war camps. When Stalingrad fell, the German 6th Army, which was the premier, when they marched into Paris in 1939 and 38, when they took France, you should see those boys walking through that big arch to triumph. The whole 6th Army marching through there victorious. It was the 6th Army under von Paulus that went into Stalingrad. When Stalingrad fell and the Germans lost, 90,000 German soldiers out of the 6th Army walked into captivity into Russia, 1944, 43. In 1952, they released them. Out of 90,000 soldiers, 3,000 came back. The rest of them died in Russia. The thing that broke Hitler's back was a two-front war. In fact, boy, it gave me goose pimples. One of the historians, when he's closing out, he said it would be safe to say, given the German army's status, and they just laid it out, which was impressive, if he would not have attacked Russia, probably America and Britain could have never defeated Germany. Because if you compared the preparedness of America at the World War II to Germany, there was no comparison. We were very unprepared. And it was a two-front war. You say, why did you say all that? Right now, as I'm sitting here talking to you, America is fighting a six-front war. We're fighting a war in the Middle East. We're fighting a race war. We're fighting a crime war. We're fighting a drug war. We're fighting a border war. We're fighting a race war. We're fighting all wars. And we got a six or seven front war going in America right now. And we are not going to win. The devil's game plan out of his playbook is what God's was in Joshua 1. Divide and conquer. And we are a divided nation. And we are about to be conquered. Now, set off to say this. Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm telling you, kids. Cowboy up, man. It's a thing where, it is what it is. This is all by God's design. I would be terrified if I didn't know that God was in charge. And I would be absolutely terrified if God hadn't showed me the patterns down through history and the Word of God that I know exactly where I'm at, what I'm doing. And don't forget, I told you Sunday that God always shows you what's going to happen before it gets here. And I'm telling you right now, it's a thing where, you know, now you have a better understanding of what's going on right now in Afghanistan and why. And I left out a lot of stuff. I mean, there's no way I could put it all in there. But you get the message now of how we got to where we're at. And the biggest thing you take home tonight, we're not fighting a nation. We're fighting a religion. We're fighting a religion that was put into play by the devil himself to do one thing. Not either to make you a slave or kill you. And there's only one way to deal with that. General Patton said it many, many, many years ago, wars aren't won by you giving your life for your country. Wars are won by you making the other guy give his life for his. Now, boy, that's where we're at. And this country's not up to the task. We will not. It's going to be interesting what happens when this thing turns south over there and our people are really trapped and can't get out, what we are going to do. America has lost its will to fight. We're so political, we try to talk our way out of everything. And some fights you can't talk your way out of, you got to slug your way out of it. But we're not there anymore. So, all you that asked that question, there it is. I hope you get what you can get out of it. You won't get it any better, easier than that. You ought to go out of here now completely understanding what you're up against. Next week, I got your other questions. I'll get into it with you, and we'll get those covered. But I felt like this church needed this tonight. If you're out there on the website and you needed it, praise the Lord. If you didn't like it, that's why there's so many websites out there you can get on.